Thanks, Shelley.
My name's Paul, an addict.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, everyone. I feel quite anxious, actually. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, because I'm sitting here, but I'm not sure about having the microphone in front of me. But I should do some posturing and posing, I think. I'm just trying to break the ice now. I want it up a bit, yeah. Where's the roadie? There he is. Is this a bootleg tape, this one? Oh. Anyway, it's good to be in a meeting. Yeah, no, I'll be all right with it in a minute. I'll get on it. I'll get down on it. That's it. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm Paul, I'm an addict. And if you're new to NA, sit back and try and relax a little bit. You know, it ain't easy being in a crowd full of strangers, you know. And we're all a bit weird and wonderful. We're all a bit bonkers. So kind of chill out and just sit back and relax, have a cup of tea. And I was told when I first came here, which is a long time ago now, it's kind of, which I'll go into in a minute. But I'll get the formalities out of the way. Thank you, Mickey, for asking me to do this chair. I haven't done a chair here for about 3 or 4 years. So, you know, it's great. And I was here at the first meeting, the first meeting of the speaker meeting. I was there every Friday, in all round the corner, wherever it was. It's moved around, but all around this building, in porter cabins and everything. And it's a fantastic meeting, and like Mona said, just to echo that our London Fellowship is amazing. It's so strong and diverse and deep and funny, and it's a wonderful thing to be involved in. And we all need to kind of be proud of ourselves for that. You know, we even have American people come over here and kind of tell us what a wonderful fellowship we got. So that's pretty good. Yeah, and Mona's covered all the bases, so I can talk about the good old days, you know, kind of discos and gigs and, you know, smoking weed and when it was a right laugh, you know, and when using was great, you know, it was absolutely great. Drugs were like the best thing since sliced bread, you know. They absolutely filled me up. They filled me right up to there, you know, right up to the top. And I loved using, I loved the way I felt, you know, and that was, you know, the flip side of that was because of how I felt, you know, and I'll go in and out of this chair and I'll talk to you kind of about how it was before NA and how it is and how it has been and how it is, kind of thing. So it's three parts to my recovery, you know. The getting here was the long road, and you know, drugs kind of absolutely betrayed me. You know, they kind of had me right over. They took everything. They destroyed anything of any good around me. They absolutely undernourished me, stole from me, stole people from my life. Stole, you know, the love I needed. They locked me down, shut me down, banged me up. You know, they kind of had me right over. And, yeah, you know, and I love drugs. You know, I don't just get it right. You know, I absolutely loved what they did to me. Because, well, you know, I grew up in central London. I grew up on a council estate. You know, I had parents who come from kind of dysfunction, you know. They didn't really know about. They knew how to kind of do what they were doing. You know, they worked hard. They loved how they loved. They opened up. They taught you what they knew. For me, as a child growing up, it didn't never seem like enough. But now I know I've got the disease of addiction, which is all about more, 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 and more. And absolutely more, as much as I can get, and then that ain't enough. When I look back down in roads and I kind of think about where I come from and what happened, I kind of start to add up that the addiction, you know, my addiction, my disease, ain't about the drugs. You know, it kicked off very early, and Mona touched on it all. You know, from a very early age, I was on the roof. You know, I was up on the roof, 5 floors up, 3 floors up, 21 floors up, 4, 5, 6, 7 from the nursery. You know, anything to give me that buzz. The adrenaline pump, I drink gallons of water. They said, why are you drinking all that water? You just keep running to the loo. I said, because I'm thirsty. And, you know, and it was like, what I know now is just filling up, you know. You know, sugar, you know, I didn't eat an ice cream. I'd eat a tub of ice cream, which I'd buzz out of the local delicatessen, you know. I learned very early what a buzz that was, thieving, you know. I could have what I wanted, you know, that was great. So I did, you know, I took, you know. And you know, I didn't want to go home, actually, you know. I kind of wanted to be with my mates, and I wanted to be running free and wild and smoking and drinking and doing what I want to do. And I don't want to know about school. I don't want to know about discipline. I don't want to know about anything, really. I just want to kind of run wild. And I did. And I did run, you know, I literally run everywhere, you know. I was kind of good errand boy, you know, I was kind of paper boy, anything, you know. Let me in your shop to do the papers, mate, and you were coming unstuck with your cigarettes. That was it, you know. And that was how I went about, you know. I kind of, I don't know, you know, I guess them bad habits come off my brother, people around me, you know. And we didn't have loads, so it made perfect sense to take it. And you know, the shortened version of the Serenity Prayer was F-U-C-K, you know. And them, whoever they are, and everyone, pretty much, you know. And that's how I went about. And what I learned when I got here was that was an attitude of indifference and intolerance to spiritual principles. And I was like, yeah, that's me. That's what I do. That's what I did. I run around, I don't care about you, I don't care about anyone, I don't care about me, you know, first and foremost. And I just do what I've got to do when I fancy doing it, driven by what I now know to be the disease of addiction. And so it kicked in very early for me. And what was, you know, why that all went down and whether I caught it on a beach in kind of Marbella somewhere when I was 2 or kind of caught it round the flats in the monkey bar. I don't know, you know, I'm not sure where it all come from, but I knew I had it. It was in me, and on hindsight, I know that the disease of addiction is a progressive illness because I learned it here. I didn't know this at the time. So all my using, you know, led me to kind of to smoking. And I don't know about progressive drug use, you know, because I used to smoke cocaine and I didn't like it. But give me heroin and I smoked that all day and all night. So I don't know if there's a progression or not, but I always absolutely drank alcohol from the moment my eyes were open, and I used to have to drink. This is how it got towards, you know, well, not towards the end, pretty much kind of 3 or 4 years in. I used to have to drink so I could hold the foil without shaking, you know. And I never, you know, when I got clean eventually, they said, you know, you're alcoholic. And I'm like, oh, no, not me, you know. And in jail, they say, go to the AA meetings, go to AA. And I go, oh, fucking AA. Oh, no, mate, I just have a little drink and a puff. You know, I'm all right, I'm sweet. You know, that was my problem, is the powder. That was the lies the disease fed me. So anyway, I grew up around the flats and we had a right laugh and I loved music. I absolutely loved rock and roll. I loved the whole thing. I loved the kind of hedonism. I love it all. And then, you know, and it's great. And I don't want to go to school and I don't want to go to college. And I just want to do what I want to do and use. And I did, you know. And what I know now about all that kind of time was, you know, I was, my behaviour was very dysfunctional. I was driven by a disease, which is kind of the reactive side of that is all my defects, you know, which I act out in. You know, I act out with women, I act out with thieving, I act out with kind of drama, I act out with fighting, I act out with, you know, anything that's going out there, I'll act out with it. You know, I'll kind of get into it, go down the road with it. and smash me bits, especially salt to bits. And that's all about what I know now is not feeling, you know, not... No one taught me how to feel, you know. No one sat down and said, oh, you're really lonely and tired, or, you know, or you're, you know, oh, you just need a bit of love, you know. No one kind of, you know, it's like, well, you know, people might have actually, I remember my mum, you know, but whether I can let that in, that's the bit that I have to look at all the time, whether I can let the love in. That's the hard bit. I know that now. So, and drugs, you know, that camaraderie, the kind of band mentality, the kind of, like, outlaws, kind of break the law, you know, kind of wild and free. It's fantastic, you know, it's fantastic for me. And the drugs absolutely worked, you know. You know, roll the tape on, you know. Kind of broken relationships. Probably a bit. I was just thinking, you know, rolling it too far on is like girlfriend dead, sister-in-law dead, dad dead, brother smashed to bits, mother smashed to bits by the addiction, sister smashed to bits, my ex-partner smashed to bits, my son smashed to bits. You know, and what happens with addiction is, you know, when it stops working and it starts progressing, you need those drugs. The physicality of the disease kicks in, and you need to use. Well, I'm preaching to the converted here, mate, but you know, you kind of need to use more to just feel all right, you know. And for me, the drugs didn't work. You know, they weren't doing what I thought they should be doing. They were doing what they probably always done. But my disease had progressed, and it wasn't about these work anymore. It was about, I need more. Am I going to get more? I want more. You know, this ain't enough. How much have you got? What you got? Where can I get it? How can I get it? You know, and I would trample over anyone and everyone to do that. And is that 15? 15 minutes already. And so... You know, my behaviour escalated, and it took me to all the dark corners. You know, we talk about them all the time here. You know, we talk about jails, institutions, and death, you know, and their realities. That's my reality of using. That's how it was for me. And what goes with that, and that dysfunction, and that mad behaviour, and the using, and the treading over people, and trampling everyone around you and kind of abusing everyone and using everyone, that kind of indifference and intolerance of spiritual principles, you know, that made me feel ashamed of myself. I felt a lot of shame around that, but I couldn't own it. I couldn't own that I was beaten, I was getting beaten by my addiction. And so I tried to run from the addiction, I'd move a little bit quicker. You know, I'd use different, I'd try and get away from myself, you know, and Mona talked about kind of geographicals and da-da-da-da-da. You know, and it used to take me to jail. And what would happen in jail was, I'd get there, I'd sit down in there, I'd kind of clean up, you know, it's great that version of clean, because, you know, that Mona's version of clean was my version of clean, which you know, is drinking and smoking weed and popping pills at the weekend and having a sniff and... You know, if there's any Valium or whatever just to take the edge off, I'll have a few of those in the morning, and you know, and I might need a few sleepers to get me down. If you've got some Tunel, I like the idea of Tunel, you know. And you know, and that was me clean, but the powder, keep away from that brown stuff and I'll be alright. Now this is not everyone's story, it's just my story, and you know, that's just how it was, you know. So my problem was, this is the ultimate problem, and it's not my problem today, because I've fully conceded to my innermost self, so it says in books, and I have. And what my problem was I want to be clean and have the clean life and the clean people and the healthiness, and I want to do all the right things, and I want to have a career, and I want to work, and I want to be a good son, and I want to be a good partner, and I want to be a good father, and I want to do all that stuff. and then I want to use and be tricky and underhand and fucking, you know, shifty and want it my way. And, you know, I want it both ways. You know, I want it how it is. And trying to work that one, you know, trying to juggle that one. That's a kind of, you know, that's the right word. Well, that is a juggling act. That is an absolute juggling act that don't get you nowhere, you know. So when I come in, I come via a 12-step treatment centre that a rock star had put his money in, and it was there, and it got me clean, you know, got me absolutely clean. Not my version, their version, which is nothing, absolutely nothing. And I'm not going to tell the abstinence and the Greek aperitif joke tonight. So some of you will know that one, but anyway. But they said abstinence, and I said, you know, and I didn't know what it was. I had no idea. He talked a different language to me. And they said, well, that means actually nothing, you know. No puffing, no drinking, no pills, no powders, no potions, nothing, nish. And I thought my life was over. You know, I thought they just might as well have shot me in the head and slung me out the back with a binge, you know. Because what am I going to do? That's where I thought it ended. That's where the story, that's where my life began. You know, that's where it absolutely took off, you know. What a result, a miracle, the absolute. I never thought in a million years that I was going to get clean, let alone being worthy of being clean, let alone thinking enough of myself to be clean, not thinking that I deserve to be clean, not actually loving myself enough to think for one minute I actually, it's my right to have a life, it's my right to be on this planet, it's my right to connect, like Mona says, with the universe as I see it and give out love, you know. I had no idea about this. I just kind of thought it was all done. It was all over. And they kept saying, you know, you'll be all right, you know, and that way you be all right, you know. I'm mad, you know, I was mad anyway. The drugs kind of kept me sedated, and now I'm totally mad and I'm abstinent. You know, the new word. Abstinence, jeez. What kind of concept's that? But I understand it totally, absolutely now. You know, the concept of abstinence is you can't, it's, you know, it's absolute, this illness. You can't, you know, half measures avail us nothing in the using and in the clean time, you know. If you want to fuck around, I shouldn't be swearing. If you want to play with it, it will kick your ass. That's how it is. And I know that when coming in. So I was in a dilemma because I want to use and I'm clean and I want to be clean and it don't mix. It's like oil and water. It just don't happen, you know, it don't happen. So somehow, somewhere I got clean. The miracle happened for me, you know. God kind of stepped in, and I'm not talking about religious gods, and I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the kind of, you know, the force for greater good. You can take it from Star Wars, take it where you like from, but it's out there, you know. It's kind of, you know, it's been happening for, you know, ever since civilization has started. You know, this is about energies, and for me anyway, that kind of I tune into. And so anyway, you know, I got clean in spite of myself. That's what I mean. You know, I didn't want to be clean. I didn't think. I questioned it every other day, questioned it every other kind of night, you know. I wanted to see the evidence, I want to see the kind of blueprint, I want to know how it's going to work out for me, I want to know what job I'm getting, I want to know, you know, if I'm going to get a girlfriend, I want to know, you know, I'm going to be forgiven, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And they're saying to me, you'll be alright, just hang in there, you'll be alright. And I was, you know, And I was introduced to NA, you know, absolutely introduced to NA, and my first experience of NA was a blinder, was absolutely a blinder, because, you know, first of all, you know, when I first started going to the rooms, and there was like, you know, they were in churches and in doss houses, and I thought, how can this get me clean and change my life? You know, that was my logic. My best thinking, you know, my best laid plans always failed, but still my illness was feeding me the nonsense of saying, like, this ain't going to work for you. You know, you know, this ain't for you, this ain't right, this ain't happening quick enough, that ain't happening quick enough. So anyway, you know, I just kind of went along with it. I had nowhere to go. And I had some motivating factors, you know, which I was lucky. And one of them was I was wanted and looking at another 2 years plus prison sentence. So that was a very big motivating factor. I didn't want to go back to jail. I'd rather be in a kind of treatment centre in the West Country, going to NA meetings and all these places, like, you know, where I didn't know where it was. It's in the country, you know. I'm a city boy. I know the country. So it'll be scary out there at night. There's no lights. and it's dark. So they'd trawl us around in the bus and throw us into the means and pick us up and come back. And what we're doing, we're clocking up days, and I wanted evidence. There it was. So I said, yeah, you're clean, you know, you're weak. And then I sit in groups there, and they go around every morning, and people would say, and the geezer, the big ginger fella in the middle of the council, would go around and point his finger and say, how many days clean? How clean are you? And then he'd start off, and they go, I'm 30 days, I'm 25 days, I'm 15 days, I'm 2 days up the detox, I'm a week clean. And I go, yeah, I'm 10 days. You know, and we go around, and like, you know, the parallel one addict helping another, sorry, I can't even remember it anyway, but yeah, you get the gist, yeah? All addicts in one room together, staying clean, it's an absolute miracle, you know, there's the magic. You know, none of us know what we're doing, we have no idea what we're doing, the blind is leading the absolute blind all the time, you know, the counsellors don't know what they're doing, and we're all clean, you know, and like, you know. So yeah, you couldn't kind of put that little equation on a blackboard, I don't mean. But anyway, and what it was, you know, what you got in there was people who really just were done, you know, were hopeless, helpless, and, you know, desperate. And what they somehow, they were cleaned up, and what they were doing was helping each other, you know, and that's how it was for me. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, like any good addict, once I started copping to how many days I was clean, I had something to lose. You know, hold on a minute. You know, I had like 27 days or something, you know, and going out the door with 27 days, yeah, he's going to think so. You know, I had something to lose, you know, and I had no idea what they were on about. Really, I, you know, they talked in gobbledygook, you know, that's how it was for me the first phase. Still can be a bit gobbledygooky now, but it was gobbledygook. It was like, you know, spirituality, prayer and meditation, a higher power, you know. Well, what's all that about, you know? Honesty. Well, I was done, you know, that was me, I'm done. They used to take me to the shop and say, you stand there, so put your hands in your pockets. Stand over the road there away from the shops. We've had you. But that's how it was. And that was my first concept of honesty, was don't nick anything. Just for the day. You know, what a wonderful concept that is. Absolutely doable. Absolutely doable. You know, because I'd done it. I'd done it the day before. I hadn't stolen anything and I hadn't used. So I was in the game, I was absolutely in the game, and they take us back and forward to the meeting, and all of a sudden they throw us out and hit the streets, you know, and then I knew, I've been taught, people have taught me, go to meetings, you know, and I'd walk up the Woolworth Road, I was in a homeless hostel down in South London, it was snowing, I was with my mate Lisa, and we're walking down in the snow, and I'm like, where's this fucking meeting? You know, and it's like the other end of, like, and I've got off the wrong bus stop, and, you know, where's this meeting? And she said, you would have walked there to school, wouldn't you? And I went, yeah, I'll book you right there. You know, I would have gone to the ends of the world. You know, I could score in any country I landed in, you know, within moments. that kind of antennae of the addict, you know, we just snip it out. We know where it is. We see it going down. If you're looking for it, it's there, isn't it? If you're not looking for it, I'm bumping into them, you know, these days. So that whole kind of, you know, coming back to London, nothing, you know, absolutely nothing, no idea what I could do, where I was going, what was going to happen to me. Fear, you know, I didn't, you know, they said, I learned that word as well, where they said, yeah, oh, trust someone, you know, you need to build your trust and faith up. With who? who do you trust? How do you trust? How do you have any faith in anyone but yourself? Because that's all I'd ever relied on. But the reality and the truth, if you like, was that my self-reliance got me locked up and nearly buried me a few times. So that weren't working, you know. So I think I'm kind of getting into the we here, you know, and I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to talk about the first three steps, really, and talk about Dingwalls and stuff, but I'm kind of losing a bit of time now. So, but the we thing, you know, what I couldn't do on my own, and there's no coincidence there, you know. When I run my life by myself with no NA, I wound up in jails, in horrible places. I wound up in you know, doing things I said I'd never do. You know, I wouldn't do that, and I'd do it. And when I was running the show, that's how my life went. You know, it went further, further, deeper, deeper down. And I got further. And what the whole thing for me is, I visualise it like a complete, absolute, like I just run so far away from who I am, you know. I just, the drugs, the behaviour, the madness, just took me a million miles away from who I am, from my sense of self and who I am, you know, what I am. And what NA offered me was a way home, if you like, back, you know. Back to who I am, to what I, you know, to fill my boots, as I say, you know, to fulfill my potential as a human being. It sounds all a bit profound, that, but that's the truth. That's how it is. All sounds a bit kind of spiritual book kind of self-help book stuff, but that's it. And what they've done, they give me a set of tools and they said, you can't do it on your own. Self-reliance absolutely don't work for you, Paul. And if you're an addict, you've got to cop to it. And I did, fully conceded. Then they talked about we, if you want some sanity in your life. If you want to kind of, you know, I felt incredibly insane without drugs. And the program weren't kind of filling the sanity gap. But at least I was wrapped around loads of you lot who were exactly the same. So we talk about our insanity. We express how we kind of, how we felt. You know, in my head, it was like a civil war. It was like, don't do this, do that. How's this? What am I doing that for? Who's this? Where's that? It was like, you know, unrelentless, tuned out radio going on, kind of white noise. And I won't say it with years, but it went on for a long time. And people would say to me, have some faith, and, you know, and that whole we thing, no, I weren't alone, you know, for the first time in my life that I was up against, you know, I was up against something that really kicked me, it kicked my ass, it really smashed me to bits, and it was so painful the last 5 years, because I really wanted to be clean and used, and I couldn't do it. It didn't work. My plans did not work. And so that set me up to get that fully conceded. And to do it, you know, we talk about God here, and you grab whatever you like around God, you know. We don't talk too much about religion down here. But, you know, to pray, just the action of praying, you know. You know, I pray when I was in trouble, but that action of prayer, you know, of kind of reaching out, humbling myself, saying, you know, that what it is for me is it says you don't know the solution. You don't have all the answers, Paul. I have to say that out. I do not have all the answers, unfortunately. You know, in my head, it can say, this is a good idea, Paul. And it's absolutely, when I spread it around, that good idea I think I've had with people who I trust and love, who are all in this room tonight, and they go, Paul, that's not a good idea. And I'll do it anyway most of the time. But no, sometimes I do take some notice. That's the power greater than myself. How simple is that? You know? And the equation is you plus me plus God of our understanding and a program. We're empowered. We're in the game. We are we are powerful. Together we are powerful. And that's my truth. You know, I'm wary about saying what's my truth because my illness still fills me little snippets of nonsense. But what my truth is deep down is that I know this absolutely works for me. You know, and I've been coming here for 22 years and that's not to blow my own trumpet. That's to say that I came here, you know, a day up was the pipe dream. You know, absolutely one day. A night's sleep was the pipe dream. Please just let me sleep. I just am done. Let me sleep. And I got sleep and I got love. You know, and we talk about in this room, you know, I know so many people. I know so many people in this room, and I have respect and love for all of them. I don't think I've got any resentments going on. I don't even. I dare put my glasses on. No, I haven't. You know, I have at all to deal with the resentment. I don't. You know, I came here. I absolutely came here hating everybody. I hated old Bill, I hated ambulance geezers, firemen, I hated grave diggers, anyone, postman, you know, whoever. And it's no, I just hated everybody because I just hated me, I guess, you know. And what I've learnt here, you know, what I've learnt here is that, you know, I am of worth and value, you know, I'm worth recovery, absolutely worth recovery. You know, I'm absolutely enough, and I never felt that before. You know, and you guys taught me that. You know, because I listen, I go to meetings and I listen, I hear, I'm going to college, and all stuff like that. You know, and I go, I'm going to college. I got through out of grammar school in the second year. That was my education. And I went to college. And I'm studying now. I love that. I feel really proud of myself. It took me, how long, from 12 to 52, 40 years, 40 stretch, to get that block out of the way and go, okay, Paul, go back to school. You know, that's where it's at for you. Go back to school. 40 years. But I'm still open-minded and humble enough to go, thank God for that. What an absolute gift for me to get some education. You know, it's phenomenal. And what else is happening in my life? I'm not in a relationship. Thank God. Now, you know me in these rooms. People who know me here will go, bloody right too, Paul. You keep away from it. I've been in more than fingers and toes. And I don't know how to do a relationship. I know my hands up 2 years ago and have to go and get help. Loads of help. Absolutely. And that's all right. I'm honest, open-minded and willing enough to go and do that. My recovery has to come first. You know, I want to be in a relationship. I want to have a lovely wife or woman or whatever, you know. But I ain't ready. So they say. And a day at a time, I can do that. I can keep out of trouble. Keep my nose clean, because I need to do that for a while. You know, I haven't been arrested. 22 years, I have not been nicked, and I have not been banged up. Before I come to NA, I used to be nicked. I used to have at least one or two court cases a year going down, and I'd be in and out, whether it's remand or little sentence, blah, blah, blah. That ain't happened. So, you know, this is no coincidence. This, if you're new here, this is not the coincidence. You know, when you stop using and you come here, things change dramatically very, very quickly. Not as quick as you want them to, but they change. In my eyes, they change very, very quickly. But, you know, we're addicts full of the illness when we arrive, and we're like, I want sorting out. I want to sort it out my way, and I want to sort it out now. Ain't gonna happen. ain't going to happen. But slowly but surely, we will carry you. When you come to these meetings, we will love you. We will give to you like it was given to us. And you will get well and you will have your life back. And you will become, like I did, a son. You know, I visit my mum in the nursery home 3 times a week. I'm not because I'm a saint. It's because I'm able to do that because I'm clean and not outscoring. And it's around the corner from where I'm living. You know, I have my son back in my life. He's a stranger at the moment. He's gone quiet on me for 3 months. It pains me. It really hurts me. It hurts me deep in my heart. But he's got his eye power. He'll be all right. And I think he's banged up. I don't know. He ain't contacted me. I have grandchildren, you know, because he's banged up. I ain't seeing them, you know. I've got a beautiful sister, you know, a wonderful sister and niece who you know, and I'm a brother to my brother, you know, who's using still. He's 60. He's still using. And he knows I'm 22 years clean, you know. And he's been on deathbeds and he's screaming for drugs. He's in intensive care, screaming for drugs that he's already just had. And the nurse, I'm standing with the nurse and she's saying, see the monitors up there? I'm saying, yeah. She said, when they start making noises, he starts withdrawal and he ain't withdrawing. And I said, now do you know about the illness being in your head? And he got it. And he said, I've took him out the blue book and read it in for 2 weeks. And then he skipped out of the hospital and went missing. And went in use. That's the power of the disease, you know. So, you know, what I'm going to say is this is a powerful, absolutely empowering on a personal level, but an absolutely powerful, you know, 12-step fellowship throughout this world is an absolute phenomenal power. And I don't know about my brother getting clean or not, but I know if I turn up and if I do what's required of me, I take the responsibility for myself as a recovering addict, and I do what's suggested to me by sponsors, and I try and do that and fulfil those obligations and responsibilities to the best of my ability, then there's a good chance that that message that I carry, that's carried to other people, that they carry to other people, that carry to other people, that carry to other people, that goes around this world, back and forward, might just, when he's ready, land on him. Because it landed on me. And I never thought that was possible. So, yeah, you know, I just want to share my gratitude. You know, I, as John would say, every clean pair of socks to NA and so much more. You know, my life is phenomenal. You know, it could be better, you know, by my kind of mad standards. But my life on the real terms is wonderful. You know, good and bad. You know, my mum's in a nursing home. I found her having a stroke. You know, I was clean, picked her up, you know. Got to the place in time to have the jab that could have saved her mental kind of sense. So anyway, yeah, you know, I'm meant to be clean. This is where I'm meant to be. I try to do it God's way. It's difficult some days. Other days it's a piece of cake. I try and give out the love and try and keep open to the love, you know. And that's pretty much it. If you are new, this is where it's at for you. This is where it's at. It's absolutely where it's at. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Turn up. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. It will get better. It will. And you will be all right. You will absolutely be all right, like I was, like everyone else I know in these rooms who've been sticking around it. Yeah, thanks for letting me share.